Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself, the man they're going to name the next virus on, maybe the hot rod virus or the rod virus, who knows. I am the hot rod. And on the phone line, he's a virus himself indeed. He's been a pain to my thorn since the day I met him 45 years ago. His name is
Sean Black, in the building once again.
Wow.
Having to deal with the craziness that is, of course, the Hot Rod. Good Lord. It's going to be one of those shows, I can tell.
Well, you know, it's been like, 3 weeks since we talked to each other, you know, and entertain our three listeners. Yes, we gained one more listener. Thank you, Mom. But besides that, guys, you know the number to call, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. We have a whole bunch of topics. I wrote them down on my sheet of paper, but I think I used that same paper to wipe my butt with it. So I'm freestyling over here, so bear with me, Sean Black. But
oh, Lord.
What?
Like I said, bear with us, folks. This is going to be one of those shows. If you're not really, if you don't follow the show, we've been doing this almost 7 years. This is exactly what's going to happen.
All right. No comment. But on to real business. I know Sean Black been a preacher for the last almost a year now about vaccine and everything. No shocking to this story that there's a new variant going out of the coronavirus, the Megatron, Omarion, or Decepticon. I forgot which one this was. There've been so many names for this thing.
Yes,
Sean Black.
It's called Omicron.
Omicron. Oh, just like Unicron. Yes, that's. I would call it Unicron. Okay, from the Transformers movie. I don't care, but with Unicron has surface. They said it's not here in the United States, as we know of, but we will not be surprised if it's here already. It started in South Africa and spread it through Europe. Raising Sean Black, are you shocked by this new Unicron? Are you shocked that it's spreading by wildfire? And should we be concerned, in your opinion?
Well, to update your line of questioning, to say that it may not be here, it's already here. Dr. Fauci talked about it during a press conference that it's already been seen in a case of somebody from California that visited South Africa on November 22nd and came back and was tested on November 29th, and it was found that they have Omicron. This is a person who I believe is in the San Francisco area, is quarantining, and is double vaccinated. So this is somebody that was already double vaccinated before they went to South Africa and came back with it, and is dealing with mild symptoms. Now, everything that from what I've listened to over the last, probably I'd say the last 10 hours or so, has been saying that although Omicron is probably more virulent as far as has much easier to spread and catch.
Yeah, transmissible.
They don't know. It's more transmissible, but they don't know exactly the potency of it. And just initially from what I've listened to is that it may not be as powerful per se or as potent as the Delta or Delta Plus strains. But the spike protein that is associated with this particular strain has already attached 30 mutations to it. Now, you remember last year we talked about how, and I brought this up, that I didn't want to freak people out when it comes to these kinds of things because viruses mutate. That's literally the job of a virus. It is to replicate as much as it can. And we have vaccines in place, or at least attempt to have vaccines to kind of slow that down so that by the time it does replicate, the people that have built up resistance to that particular strain or to a particular virus will be able to have lesser and lesser symptoms and lesser sickness, and the efficacy of that virus is weakened as the efficacy of the vaccine and the immune system goes up. That's one of the issues we've been dealing with, mostly because of a lot of hesitancy throughout people that either don't believe in the vaccine, they don't believe in the science, or they just believe that this whole thing is a bunch of hooey.
And as we talk all the time, and we always come up with a statement, not to sound like a broken record, but how many times you and I, Sean, had talked on the show, on the phone, via text, via talk, of how many times we watch the news, we hear the same story of people in the hospitals dying or near deathbed, you know, saying they sure took the vaccine. If they took the vaccine,
yes,
they would have been shot, they would make it. You know, it's like, okay, and, you know, we say this all the time. We respect your decision to take the vaccine or not. It's your call. But just be careful. Take care of yourself. But we, and I told you many times over and over, and I show you the videos. I show you pictures of my friends and family still out there. I understand you want to live your life, but they're acting like there's nothing happening. You know, it's like they're out in the bars and the clubs, you know, living a life like there's no pandemic going on.
Yes.
It's like, it's just mind-boggling. Like, so people need to care, or do you think people just give up? Like, you know what? Damn if I do, damn if I don't catch this thing.
Well, we have, as the late, great Lady T would always say, we have a lot of vaccine and coronavirus fatigue. She used to always talk about how people just want to get to their regular lives, and that she was drained from all of this, as she would always say.
Drained.
Yes. Drained, and more drained. I think what happens is that most people that look at what's going on outside and they find out that there are other problems attached to this. This pandemic has reached us in ways that most people are only just now starting to understand. We know economically these kinds of things are happening. We also know that going forward, there are certain other implications that happen. But there are a lot of people that look at the news or are listening to what we may be saying or listening to other outlets, other media, that are on one side or the other, either that they are going to get vaccinated and they believe in the science, or they don't want to get vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera, and live their lives. We just came off of, hopefully for most people, a very safe Thanksgiving weekend. And this week now we've gone into Hanukkah. There are a lot of people that have been traveling and going back and forth and going to other places, and as you said, either are not vaccinated. And as I've often said before, that this particular strain, this particular wing now of the pandemic, this part of the pandemic is now the pandemic of the unvaccinated, because the ones that don't, that choose not to get vaccinated and want to completely live their lives and act as if nothing's happening, yet do not want to wear masks or do what they need to do to mitigate the spread, those are the ones that are either, one, getting sick, or are, two, are not, in a lot of instances, not knowing that they are sick and are spreading it. And this is the thing that I will say for a lot of people that are looking at this. If you continue to invite the devil to dinner, eventually the devil is going to finish its meal. You continue to roll the dice and you continue to tempt fate, certain things, as we have seen, as you have talked about many times with people online and through the news, oh, I wish I did something different. I wish I could have done something different. Those are the ones that unfortunately end up on the other side of this and usually not in, in the good standpoint of it.
Yeah. Well, before I move on to the next topic, quick story to your point of people wearing masks. I love it when in New York City subway, ladies and gentlemen, is not the cleanest at all. We all know that. The wearing a mask is probably one of the best things to do riding in New York City. New York City trains before, during, and after the pandemic. But I find it funny how people that do not wear masks in the subway, in a crowded car, mind you, where you have people sneezing and coughing, but they have their masks down. But when they leave the train station, and I see this many times, and when they go outside, that's when they put the mask on. Then I'm like, wait a minute. You know you're doing it backwards, right? Outside, you could get away not wearing a mask because the air is flowing. But in the New York City subway system, where it's dirty, crowded, overcrowded, I should say, there's germs everywhere. Isn't that the area that you most likely may get sick from?
You would think.
But,
and I think that a lot of people don't feel that that's the case.
Well, you know what? In the end, like we always said, you do you. Enjoy. Okay, on to the next one. Of course, yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, Sean Black loved to send me these stories. He get a thrill to send me these stories. No shocker at all. We had another school shooting in Michigan, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, and where a 15-year-old boy with a semi-automatic handgun decided to go and pretend to be a sheriff and shot 3 people dead and others injured. Sean, I saw the video. It's the same old thing. It's terrifying. Hundreds of students running in fear. Now, Sean,
yes.
Black, this is your story. Why are you telling me the story? Once again, I have to ask this annoying question again, which does not make sense. Do America have a gun problem?
Well, one, this isn't my story, but it should be everyone's story. And the reason why I say that is that we have almost become desensitized to this because this usually tends to happen once every, at least on the news, once every other week. There was a part. There was a time that we were doing the show, and it was every week for, I think it was like a month or 2 month span.
For
every show that we did, we were highlighting another new shooting. Now, as you said before, the alleged gunman, who's a 15-year-old teenager by the name of Ethan Crumley, in Oxford, from Oxford High School, went into the school. I guess there were text messages warning people that if you don't want to die, then don't come to school. And he eventually went to the school, opened up he had 3 clips of, I believe it was an AR-15, semi-automatic weapon. And he shot up the school. There were initially 3 people dead, 8 people wounded, including one was a teacher. The update to that is there was one student that was on a ventilator that passed away earlier this morning or this afternoon. So that's 4 dead. And now the teenager is being charged as an adult for murder as well as terrorism, which I find quite interesting because you don't normally hear that when you hear about these mass shootings. You don't usually hear that upcoming onto that, but for a 15-year-old, and we've seen, we've talked about, and we've heard so many different school shootings between ones that are non-fatal to those that are extremely fatal. We talked about the Parkland shooting in Florida. We've talked about the nightclub shootings, what happened in Vegas. We've gone through so many of these different things, but specifically for this topic, school shootings. And I always ask the question, why would any student or any parent feel safe taking their kid to school, any school, knowing that on the horizon, the school that they are going to could be the next contestant? I don't know how you can fix this outside of some sort of extreme legislation, but it's never going to change because, one, you have people that want to defend the Second Amendment right to bear arms, and then so many states have so many different laws to change that. And then third, you have to also wonder what is really being done. When we hear about, oh, more unfortunate deaths, then we see funerals, we hear about people complaining about, oh, this shouldn't happen, things need to change, and then time goes by, nothing changes, and then we hear of another shooting somewhere else a week later.
Well, why should it change? This is what we love. As we discussed on this program a million times, America loves his gun more than their children. Once again, where did this kid, a 15-year-old kid, got his gun from? He got it from his father as a gift, I'm assuming, for 4 days ago prior. And they said that this kid was bullied. Now, Sean Black, tell me a kid who has not been bullied these days, the list go forever. So apparently he has a target on his hand, this kid. So if his son's being bullied, well, once again, I don't know this whole story. I don't know the father's intention at this time. I'm just talking about in general. You know your child's being bullied. Why would you want to buy a gun and put a gun in this child's hand to quote-unquote defend him or herself, right? That's the logic thinking, right?
Yeah.
But also, why do you
you're not looking at the
school?
Here's the root problem. The root problem, as you said, was allegedly from what we're hearing, what you just talked about, is that he was bullied. Now, this sounds eerily like the Columbine shooting, where the kids that were involved that did the shooting, they were bullied as well. We've heard many, many different scenarios where we talk about persons in school who were unmercifully bullied, beat up, online terrorism, that kind of thing. And then they figure, you know what? No one is hearing. Nobody is listening. So the only way that I'm going to be able to let people know what kind of pain I am in is to take out as many people in the school as possible. And we don't get to the core issue before the core issue is now a symptom. Symptoms happen for a core reason. But if you don't treat those, you have these results.
Yeah, but once again, if I have a problem with you, Sean Black, and you've been bullying me, you and K-Dog, which you guys do anyway, don't get me wrong, when you guys bully me, I'm supposed to get my weapon and come after you. Why should I come after Brother B, Big Red, Joe, Montana? Why should I go after other people that have nothing to do with this? If I have a problem, I should have a problem with just you, right? That's a clear logic.
And you're correct.
Right?
Yes, that's the clear logic.
I'm not saying that's the right action to do. I'm saying that's a logic action to do.
Yes. The problem is nobody – there used to be a time when if someone had a problem with someone that was either bullying them or just somebody that they had a problem with, they'd go out either during lunch hour or when school was over, they'd have a fight. The kids would surround everybody, and you just have a fight, and either one person lost, one person won, and that was it. Then it evolved from two people having a fight, and then the two people that had a fight, the person that lost – had friends. So then they would tell their friends, I'm about to have a fight, and if you beat that person up, they would get their friends to go and beat you up. Then it evolved from, okay, now that you've got friends and you're going to do this, I'm going to go out and buy myself a gun, or I'm going to borrow my cousin's gun, or I'm going to borrow my brother's gun, or I'm going to take the father's gun from the gun safe, and I'm going to hand out justice the way it's supposed to. And this is how it seems to have evolved over I don't know how many years. We can only imagine how it is in other places. But only in the United States Do we have the frequency and not just the frequency, the intensity of what happens and the amount of victims? There are certain countries where you would hear about a mass shooting or a school shooting or something like that, and it'll be the first time that it's happened in 30 years. Or it might be the country's only time that it's ever happened. This kind of thing happens almost on a daily basis in this country. Maybe not to this scale, but to some degree, because there was a school shooting, I believe, last week that obviously since we weren't on the air, we didn't talk about. But there seems to be at least one or two school shootings every week. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. But once again, Sean Black, it's not guns don't kill people. People kill people. Is you have to get these guns from the crazy people that you know, the gun defenders will say. It's not their fault that, you know, Moe Larry Curly went berserk and start killing on a rampage. I got my guns. I don't kill people. So don't take my guns away from me because Moe Larry Curly just cannot handle being bullied or went AWOL.
And then you have to address the issue of, as I said before, there are symptoms that lead to a cause. You can't treat the cause and then make sure that you act as if it's just a symptom. These are the problems that happen. We know there are way more stimuli out there for children when it comes to social media, trying to get attention from talking to people, those kinds of things. Internet, you can get so many different ideas and certain things from all kinds of places. And if you don't fit within a particular bubble in certain parts of society, you are looked at as a pariah. You're looked at as a geek, an outcast. Well, and if you don't fit within those boxes, as we talked about before, we all went through this when we were going to junior high school and high school. The big difference is because we were probably lucky enough to have been taught certain ways, afraid of certain outcomes happening, and maybe just from a roll of the dice, we weren't in the situations that a lot of other people find themselves in on such a regular basis. We don't have the bullying and the extent to the bullying that we have now. Now, this isn't to excuse the reason why it's happening. As I said before, this is just a symptom to a cause. And we have to find out what the actual root cause is to stop this from happening. Because I will guarantee you it's going to happen again, and it probably will happen again relatively soon after we finish talking about something like this. And it's unfortunate. It's like on a bell curve. It'll go up, it'll come down, it'll go right back up.
Well, talk about someone that's bullying me all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you K-Dog. K-Dog, what's your intake about the school shooting yesterday? I know you're not surprised, but overall, what's your take?
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Good evening, everyone. You know, with this school shooting, again and again, you know, you have to understand something about how these things happen is that, you know, every state has different laws when it comes to guns. And I was listening to you guys earlier talking about kids being bullied. It's a very serious thing when kids are being bullied. I mean, we've seen, you know, for those of us who've experienced it, experience being bullied, you know, yeah, you got into a fight with the person and, you know, the person won't bother you again. But now these days, it's more than just the fisticuffs. You have kids that's like, in the famous words of Popeye, like, I can't stand it no more. They'll come to the school with a gun and shoot it up. And unfortunately, kids will be killed. We've seen this time and time again. Columbine. We've seen it again with what happened at Virginia Tech. We've seen it time and time and time again. And in this particular case, the parents of this kid owned a gun, and now the parents could be facing charges for this. Because this is serious. Three kids are dead.
Well, you know what?
Four, actually, now.
Four. The fourth one died today. Yeah, this is serious.
Yes. So to your point, K-Dog, since the father bought the gun for the kid, do you believe or do you think the father should be charged as well with the kid for this crime?
Well, he should be because this was negligent. I mean, why would you put a gun in the home, especially when you have a teenager? Not just, you know, yes, little kids do play with guns and it's dangerous, but teenagers who do know what to do with a gun, who takes the gun and brings it to school? That's your gun. How could you not realize that it was missing? Like, why would you put it somewhere where the kid could know where you put it?
Well, no.
This is what doesn't make sense.
Yes, but like I said to Sean, what happened if the father brought his kid the gun to defend himself against the quote-unquote bully? I'm not saying that's the reason for it, but I'm just using it as a logic. Because apparently the father brought his son a gun for a reason. And remember, this is not New York City. This is Michigan, you know.
Yeah, like I said, different laws. There's different laws for different states have different laws. This is true. Because what
and
you
I
know,
want you
New
to,
York City
I,
has
I want,
their own
I want
gun
to
law?
Bring this up. I'm just going to bring this up to kind of temper what both of you are saying. The state of Michigan, a person under the age of 18 generally cannot possess a firearm in public unless under the direct supervision of an adult 18 years or older that has a license.
Wow.
So this kid is 15. Think about that.
Yeah.
15. Yeah, but
he's 15.
But he still gonna have the gun under supervision. He took upon himself to take the gun and go handle business at the school.
And that's the bad part about it.
In the backyard. He could have used his gun in the backyard or in a shooting range or somewhere. The kid took upon himself
to bring the gun to the school and shoot up because unfortunately, and to your point, Hot Rod, he's the one who took the gun, but of course the father could face charges for this. That's what I'm saying. By law, he could be facing charges.
And a friend of mine posts that, you know, back in our era, we had metal detectors and, you know, other stuff for weapon check. And, you know, people recommend this school should have metal detectors. Those things doesn't work anymore. It didn't work back then. Because if I have a beef with Sean, if I want to take action, I don't have to do it during school. I could do it after school or before.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we solve this problem once again? After I asked this question like 1,000 times. How can we solve this problem for the future? Because my kids are in school right now, and I pray every day that they come back home. Well, who knows what could happen? You know, and I remember Sean say this a few months ago. It's bad enough we have to worry about the coronavirus, but to add and schoolwork, and now you have to add bullying and school shooting on top of it. That could take a lot on the child. And kids today.
Today's kids won't face what we have to face.
No. Back in our days, we just had to face, you know, which girl we want to talk to, or can we, you know, stand up for ourselves against one kid. Now, the children today face a whole level of issues, besides listening to Sean Black every day, a whole level of issues. But Sean Black, with this kid being 15, and the first thing I told you that this kid got to be white, but once again, I said what I said. Most of these mass shootings in these schools are caused by white people, white kids, mostly white males who have probably a messed up family history. Because, like Butterby said a while back, you don't hear about these stories in the urban area. Because if I have beef with Sean Black or K-Dog, I have a gun, I'm not going to go to school and start shooting up random people. I will go after Sean Black or K-Dog. If I hit somebody, it's one thing, but that's my intensive target. But that being said, Ritterhouse, not guilty verdict. Another kid who was 17 with his gun out in the public, going trigger happy, got a non-guilty verdict. And I know you guys were not surprised by this last week.
Nope.
Sean Black, do you relate? Do you relate the Rittenhouse case to this crazy case right here?
It's similar yet different in this sense. The Rittenhouse case was along the lines of a 17-year-old, underaged, was not of legal age to have a gun, crossing state lines, going to a rally or a protest for an African-American who was shot by police and was, in the sense, an agitator, but in the minutiae of the case and the way that it was done, he was, quote-unquote, defending himself because he was initially hit from behind with a skateboard, somebody tried to take his gun, et cetera. The result of this is that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to think they are emboldened to use that same defense that I am just going with whatever weapon I have out into public to do certain things to defend myself. And there's a possibility that based on this precedence, they will get away with it. Now, mind you, these are different states, different laws, different jurisdictions. Looking at this thing right now in Michigan with a 15-year-old who literally went to a school and opened up an automatic rifle on, we would presume, innocent people. Four people are dead. Seven people were hurt, one including a teacher. And when you hear of some of the injuries that a lot of the people that are in the hospital have, jaw, heart, hip, leg, I mean, it's sad. It's disgusting. It should make you upset. But also at the same time, we sound like broken records because as much as we talk about this on a regular basis, nothing gets done. And we hear that we want to see politicians try and not even to necessarily reform laws, to actually enforce the ones that are on the docket, to enforce the ones that are already there. And those don't even seemingly get taken care of. And the saddest part is it takes victims of other shootings to actually enact change before the politicians that were there prior to all of this stuff did nothing to resolve. And the reason why, and we've talked about this before many times, is that the NRA and the gun lobby is in bed with politicians, and the money flows back and forth to keep those laws on the docket for them to be protected. That's why nothing ever gets done.
So why are we still talking about this then?
Oh, because time and time again, these things keep happening. These things are going to keep happening, and I hate to say this. I hate to be the Grim Reaper about this, but it's going to happen again. Something, unless the laws change, in which the laws are not going to change.
Well,
like Sean Black said, you have the NRA in the back pocket of these politicians.
It doesn't matter if the law changes or not. They tried to do background checks, and they tried to abide the laws to a certain degree. And it's still the same thing happening over and over. Like Sean Black said, in other countries, this is not a problem. You know, the school shooting happened once every 30 years. For us, it's like once every 30 days, at least. Sometimes twice
every month.
Yes. But it is head scratching. Like, out of all the problems, nobody cannot figure out how to solve this one. And I think that's the most frustrating part. You know, we talk.
I think even more frustrating is the fact that it can be solved. The problem is the work that needs to be done isn't getting done. That's the main issue. That's the frustrating part.
Well, and there will be more cases to come, you know, and that's the bottom line. And now on to, I forgot, Aubrey case. All three men found guilty of charges. I believe 8 out of 9 charges, I believe, they found guilty of. Sean,
yes.
K-Dog. Were you surprised that this was a non-guilty verdict, or it was something they had to do to keep Atlanta and keep America quiet?
Well, Sean, go ahead, brother. You need to let you talk it out. I'll finish.
Well, without going too deep into the case, because everybody knows specifically what happened, but we know Travis McMichael, the one that did the shooting, he was guilty on all nine counts. Gregory McMichael, the father, was guilty on 8 counts. And William Bryan, or Roddy, I guess is his nickname, he was guilty on 6 of the 9 counts. And literally what that means is that they, all 3 of them, conspired to go and kill a black man under the guise of, one, self-defense, because of all of the things that have happened in that. A black man running, jogging in the street in broad daylight after people seeing on a security camera him being at a place that was under construction, thinking he was a robber or burglar or whatever was the case. And this perceived vigilante justice going forth. The Arbery case, if you're going based on what we have seen throughout the case, there was no other verdict but what came about. And mm-hmm. I think when we're looking at the juxtaposition between the judge of this case and then the judge of the Rittenhouse case, and you take a look at how they presided over what they had. In the Arbery case, we had so many different ways of knowing that this trial was going to only be what we got as a verdict by all of the shenanigans that happened from the defense. They were trying to throw we must have a mistrial. Why? Because the mother of the decedent is crying too loud. Oh, we had too many black pastors coming in the mm-hmm. trial room. We had all of these things, all of these yeah. distractions, all of these dog whistles. And even in the closing arguments, we were hearing from the defense as far as what they were saying, which was, well, he was running through the streets with his matted clothes and his dirty toenails, and they came up with literally every scary boogeyman code word you could use to describe what happened to a dead man. And if you're going to tell me that the person that's on the stand that did the shooting that was charged with the murder is going to go on the stand and say the reason why I pulled the trigger of this gun was because he was going to take the gun from me and he was going to do bodily harm to me. Why were yeah. you there in the first place? You're the reason why he's going for the gun to defend himself.
Let me tell you
anyway.
Something.
Exactly.
Let me say this.
He was looking for trouble.
What happened with Ahmaud Arbery, he was targeted. There was a target. They see a black man running, and you know, I know a lot of people, oh, race has nothing to do with it. Yes. Race had something to do with it because they saw a black man looking into a construction site. And the defense, in their defense in the court, they testified, they the ones that showed their real guilt when they were testifying in the court. When they spoke in the court, I was like, there's no way they're going to get away with this because this right here was absolute murder. They came out there with intent to murder because what was he doing wrong? He was unarmed. He's just jogging, and you come at him with a gun. What do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's just going to stand there and let you shoot him, or is he going to put up a fight? He's going to – you understand? You know, he's going to put up a fight. He was defending himself, all trying right. to stop them from shooting him. But then they shot him anyway.
Okay, dog, with that scenario, I know this is going to mm-hmm. sound crazy. Use that scenario. There's Aubrey about to defend himself. You see a guy coming with a gun. Do you think there's a similar situation that happened with Rittenhouse in a protest?
Of course.
You see a guy with a gun?
The Rittenhouse case, you got to remember the judge was defending him. The judge felt sorry for him because, oh, this poor kid was scared. And, you know, standing there, come on, that Rittenhouse deserved an Oscar for crying on the court the way he did. That was all fake, you know, trying to win sympathy from the court, trying to win sympathy from the jurors. And, you know, the judge was sympathizing with him. As a matter of fact, the judge even went on on the prosecutor. He went off on him, and he was pushing for them to for him to get off, and that's exactly what happened.
As they always say, it's good to be white in this country.
Well, yes, it's true. It's, you know, this is what happened. And with Rittenhouse, he was up there crying, talking about defending himself. He didn't do anything wrong, and everyone was feeling sorry for him. Oh, this poor kid was scared and all of that. Come on now. And those same idiots who shot Ahmaud Arbery try to pull the same defense, saying, oh, it was self-defense. We thought we were being attacked. I'm like, how could he attack you when he was unarmed? What was he supposed to do? He grabbed the gun because you were trying to shoot. You shot him. You're going to shoot him. And that's exactly what they did.
The explanation that Travis McMichael gave was that he felt his life was
in
danger from man from
was
taking
unarmed.
His gun away from him to shoot him with. After he had been chased and boxed in, as the quote came, trapped like a rat. That was from the defense's own words. That this person is defending himself, but that's the reason why he was perfectly fine to kill Ahmaud Arbery. And that is literally the defense that they came up with that fell apart on the stand because everything that he said, everything that he did, contradicted all logic as to why he would even be there to begin with.
That's exactly what they did.
Yes, but you don't believe that the guy was really in fear for his life from a black man? We know how many white people out there who are literally afraid of us black people. Think about that. You know, I'm not saying that the guy was white. But
there is no way on earth.
That way.
And there's a difference between thinking that way and acting upon it. The issue is if you see random black person running through the street and you literally assume that just because he's running through the streets, now mind you, this isn't
he's up to no good.
This is no matter where he is, no matter what he's doing, as K-Dog just said, he must be up to no good. He has to be running from some robbery. He has to be running from a rape. He has to be going from to his next drug drop. Something along those lines. The people that whatever the thinking is, that the person that has that racist mindset that are looking at Ahmaud Arbery as this black man running through broad daylight doing no good,
he's a threat.
It's something that has to be done. Now, the other argument that could have been made, that what they said was they were going to do a citizen's arrest. You cannot do a citizen's arrest unless you have extended every extenuating circumstance to make sure that, one, there is something for a citizen's arrest to actually be used for, that you made sure that all of the other options have been done, police have been called or whatever is the case, and that you know that you've seen evidence that a crime has taken place that you need to have a citizen's arrest for. And the last time that I checked...
The evidence was there. The evidence was there. He's black.
The black
that's
man running through the street.
For them. That's all you need. And let's be honest.
And
I know
that's the problem.
Crazy, but it does work. That logic does work for them. I'm not saying it's right. Well, you see a black man running down the street? Yes. So that's enough evidence right there. Because in their terms, why should a black man be running down the streets? Jogging would not come to
them. He's jogging.
But their thought process is, like you guys said earlier, he's robbing somebody, or he's selling drugs, or he's running from the cops, something. Because black men cannot run, right?
Well, apparently, if you're going by that logic, there are a lot of people that think black people shouldn't be able to breathe or shouldn't be able to buy houses or drive cars or have a job
or
do any of the other things that a lot of people don't think that's the case.
Probably stole it. That's the first thing they'll say.
The issue is now we're trying to legislate the mindset of racist people. And we're going on record and saying if there are plenty of people that are in this country that absolutely hate what happened, and this also will add more credence to that divide in race between black and white and Hispanic and Native American and anybody else in this country that thinks that there is a there are different Americas depending on what race you come from. And if you see yourself or do other people look at you as the other, as opposed to just wanting to live your own life, a case like this and then the case like Rittenhouse will further stretch that divide open and further put that schism that's already there in race relations and further drive that wedge in there. And that's unfortunate because that's not the whole country, the whole world is not like that.
So before we move on to our last topic, should we be happy that, you know, we won a case? Or, you know what, they just threw us a bone as usual?
I'll give you the definitive answer. There's a difference between justice and accountability. This wasn't justice. This was accountability. The next part of that answer, as K-Dog was just about to say, was whenever the sentencing goes along. And I think, and this is something that I thought about, I remember talking to you about this off-air Hot Rod last week, was that I think that a lot of the defense pretty much knew that they were going to lose this case, looked at it in the sense of when we eventually go to appeal this, we're going to try to get a sympathetic judge who may think along the lines of other judges that have probably been a lot more conservative thinking along those lines of who is on the stand for the defense and potentially get some kind of more leniency in a verdict on the appeal. That's what I think this whole thing was about, because the way that this case was brought out and that the fact that the McMichaels, mostly Travis McMichael, got on the stand and literally indemnified himself on the stand pretty much killed everything for this whole case.
Okay. Now, last topic. Last night on Brother B's show with Big Red, The Menu, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Tuesday nights at 9 p.m., K-Dog and the rest of the guys and girls were on fire. Topic was color, the double standard of color woman, I believe, like how women are betrayed, or black women are betrayed like the angry type, ghettos, typical stereotypes. And K-Dog keep bringing up the point of interracial couples are on the rise lately. I'm like, we knew interracial couples been going on forever, but seem to be on the rise. Don't worry, Sean, okay, dog. There's no females on the panel tonight. This is guys talk. So you can say what's on your mind without being attacked. Do you feel, why do you think there's been a rise in interracial couple? Do you think part of it is that black men, not all black men, but in general are getting tired of dealing with the quote-unquote angry black woman?
It's not so much that. It's just that when you look at, unfortunately, the portrayal of a lot of black women, and like one girl was saying last night, oh, we've been doing it by ourselves.
I hate that line, but go ahead.
Yeah, like stop saying that. This is the problem. I'm not downing black women. There's no way I would ever down the beautiful black queens out there. Shout outs to them. But however, unfortunately, you look at these negative stereotypes of black women, especially when it comes to the reality TV shows, there's so much trash. And unfortunately, with a lot of, it comes from black men too, who do certain things that, like, let's just say when you allow a woman to take the lead, we tend to get comfortable with that. We tend to get comfortable, like, ah, she's got it. I don't need to do nothing else. However, when you're in a marriage It's two people working together. It's 50-50. It's not 90 to just 50% or one person doing everything. And this is...
I'm sorry.
Now...
But Sean Black did say... I'm sorry, kiddo. Sean Black did say, I believe, last year or quite some long time ago, it doesn't have to be 50-50. It depends on a couple. It could be 60-40 or 70-30 if there's an agreement between
right.
the two.
But unfortunately...
But go ahead.
But unfortunately, some females get tired of it. They're like, oh, he's not doing nothing. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. The arguing, that's when it will cause a problem. There will be conflict. Now, when it comes to interracial couples, and I'm not downing interracial couples neither. Years ago, something appeared in a newspaper. I think it was the Daily News, where this guy was like, oh, that how black women are so angry and stuff like that. That's why a lot of brothers would rather go marry someone else of a different race. I'm like, that's a poor way of putting things. Things happen where people, it depends on your setting. Like, you know, you could go somewhere and you meet somebody who is of a different race, and they could have everything you always wanted in a woman. You understand? I say this as a man. You know, you could meet somebody who, okay, as a black man, you know, if I meet a white woman or an Asian woman or a Latino woman or even a Middle Eastern woman, she mm-hmm. could have something. The two of us could connect together. You understand? There's a connection.
But you connect because you guys, like, well, you have something in common. You like each other.
Right.
It should have nothing to do with race.
Nothing to do with race.
Or ethnic.
And people look at it as that. They're like, he can't handle a black woman because he's running to a white woman. I'm like, that's not true. He met a white woman, fell in love with her. What's the big deal? It's just the same thing as a black woman who marries a white man.
But, well, you said interracial couples are on the rise.
Yes,
why
it is.
Is
it has been on the rise.
Portrayed?
There's been, it's like education-wise, economic-wise, and also you have to look at socially as well. You have to look at that as well because there's been a lot of that. I mean, in some parts of, especially in Brooklyn, we live in Brooklyn, don't tell me you haven't seen an interracial couple walking around. It's risen in the past couple of years. And, of course, with all the things going on, mass incarceration and all these things happening with black men, the marriage rate among black women have been very short.
Oh, don't say that, K-Dog.
No, I said it last night.
Yeah,
last night I said it. And, you know, it is true that this is happening. But also, like I said, economic-wise, social-wise, you look at that, and that's what's contributing to a lot of interracial marriages.
All right, so Sean Black, why do you think interracial couples are on the rise? You can't handle black women?
I think women have had expectations heaped on them from the day
mm-hmm.
that they were born as to what an ideal
yes.
relationship is supposed to be. You're either going
yes.
to find somebody that's going to take care of you and do well, or you're going to meet somebody that was just like your father. This was what these are the archetypes that we usually hear when we hear women explain about what they're taught.
Tonight.
No, I'm gonna explain this why. There are a lot of women that when they are young, the ones that have, you have that positive father in the life of the child, a lot of times it's like you're going to find somebody that's just like dad. Dad is, he provides, he's there, he treats me like, he treats me like a precious person, the person that I am, and then I'm going to grow up. I'm going to meet somebody who is going to have those same qualities, not to say that that's the person you're going to meet is actual dad, but the positive qualities that dad shows. Now,
mm-hmm.
as the child grows up, if they are in a loving, nurturing situation where they have that there, then they can actually see that, you know what, this is the type of person that I do want to look for, somebody that's going to treat me right. Now, we know, based on the way society has been, that that is definitely not the archetype that's around on a regular basis. So little girls grow up, and in a lot of instances, they are either in a lot of instances, maybe their parents are divorced. Maybe the grandmother is raising them. Maybe that they are in the situation where the parents weren't very good to each other, and they take that mindset into raising the child, and then that child has to learn through their own experiences what they're looking for. And they're doing
and
that
now,
while trying to find out who they are.
Excuse me, Sean Black. And now to your point, you have male raising children now, gays and lesbians raising kids now to a certain degree. So that plays
and
a factor as well.
And it's a different mindset into raising the child. It may be the same fundamentally, but there's certain things that different family settings bring to raising a child, especially a little girl growing into a teenage girl or growing into a woman. And when we hear those same stereotypes that African-American men have when it comes to dealing with women, we're now starting to see the dynamic of a lot of women don't want to deal with that inherent baggage that is presented to them.
Exactly.
So what we're starting to see a lot of much more prevalently, we're starting to even see it in commercials now, where we're starting to see a lot of the commercials embrace interracial relationships within entertainment now and within commercials and when they're selling stuff, which is much more representative today of society than the past. And there's nothing wrong with
but
that.
Do you feel
but
like
I think
there's nothing wrong, but why all of a sudden arise? Because Brother and I, Brother B and I, we spoke about this months ago. All of a sudden, you know, after Black Lives Matter and all George Floyd, all of a sudden you see this interracial couple on advertisement skyrocketing.
I don't think it's all of a sudden. I really don't believe it's all of a sudden.
I think
it was there. What I
for
think
years,
has happened is it has become much more noticeable now because we're in such a heightened state of racial animus that we seem to have and racial awareness where we're starting to find out that, you know what, certain things are not going the way of other races and having the same equality that they feel that they should have. We're starting to see a much more prevalent ideal as to what is going on in the world, a little more represented here, especially in the United States.
Yes.
And
but
that is
so
much more prevalent.
True, but I call BS on that in overall because why is always, because I understand because of market reasons, it has to be black and white. Why not Asian and Puerto Rican or Indian and black? It always has to be black and white. We always talk about when coming out to race is black and white. While there's other races and ethnics out there, you don't see
that.
Well,
you know the reason to that.
It should be.
You know the reason.
And that's wrong. And that's why I brought it up. It's all wrong. It's BS. Black and white, yes, is great and everything, but that's really BS. But there's other races out there that are not
like I mentioned earlier. I mentioned that. I said you have black and Asian, you have black and Middle Eastern, you have black and Latino. So, it's growing. It's big. It's been there for years. It's just now that a lot of people are like, wait a minute, what's going on now?
You know what would flip this country on its head? If you saw a marketing campaign for, like, say, a cereal commercial, and you saw a Muslim man and a white woman, and they have a
child. Would be hell.
If you saw that marketing on television, I think that you would hear so much drama from the world, from the rest of the country.
Please, you heard the drama during the Cheerios commercial a few years ago.
Yes, but that's what we need, commercials like that. That's diversity to me, not black and white. And with that left, ladies and gentlemen, Sean Black, K-Dog, thank you so much. I'm afraid this might be our last show of 2014? I don't know anymore.
Another year of 2021.
Another year.
We might do one more show. I don't know. But if not, happy holidays.
stay well, stay blessed, and don't forget that I'm the King of Kings and you are my slaves. Thank you all.
Oh, my
have a good night.
Good
take
Lord.
Care.
The pleasure was all yours.
Yes, indeed. Good night.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.